I'm Betsy Pappas, and I'm a research hydraulic engineer at the USDA ARS National Soil Erosion Research Laboratory in West Lafayette, Indiana. And I've been assigned to be the black sheep of this session, and I'm going to present atrazine losses that we observe from row crop agriculture in Indiana, and then I'll focus specifically on how our monitoring regime can affect the atrazine losses that we do observe. My co-authors for this work are Chihua Huang and Dennis Buchholz. We know that atrazine is associated with several health effects to humans, and for this reason, the US EPA has set a maximum contaminant level for atrazine in drinking water at 3 micrograms per liter. Many municipalities rely on surface waters as their source of domestic drinking water, and one such municipality is the city of Fort Wayne in Indiana, which serves over 200,000 residents with drinking water. Fort Wayne relies on the St. Joseph River, which has a basin that is largely agriculture, for its drinking water supply. And Fort Wayne tap water has a history of contamination by atrazine. Much of the existing research on the prevalence of atrazine in both finished and unfinished drinking water is based upon weekly, biweekly, or even quarterly sampling. And the reason that there's a large volume of quarterly based sampling data available is because this is what's required by the US EPA for a municipality to establish MCL compliance. This is based upon a running annual average of any 4 consecutive quarterly samples. And again, that must be below 3 micrograms per liter. And even if this average comes out below the maximum contaminant level, if any one of those samples has exceeded, then the US EPA can require more intensive sampling. And we are measuring in this study environmental levels of atrazine in the source water, and we can relate this to what we could expect to see in the finished drinking water. By this relationship, it has been found to be approximately 40% of MCL exceedance in intake water. And that was based upon a nationwide survey of both conventional and activated charcoal type filtration systems. And so our objectives were to evaluate levels of atrazine in a set of surface drainage ditches contributing to a major drinking water source, and that is, again, the St. Joseph River, which feeds the city of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Secondly, to determine whether weekly or biweekly sampling can be expected to represent atrazine levels and MCL exceedance frequency on a daily basis. And our primary motivation for this is that currently we are sampling daily, and our analytical capacity is pretty well maxed out. And so we wanted to see what kind of error we would have to accept in order to decrease our sampling frequency from daily to, say, weekly or biweekly. And then finally, we assess the implications of the quarterly monitoring regime to MCL compliance. Our experimental region is within the St. Joseph River watershed, and that watershed occupies parts of northeastern Indiana, extreme northwestern Ohio, and southern Michigan. Again, this is primarily agriculture, and in fact it's about 80% agriculture, and the vast majority of that percentage is in corn and soybean in annual rotation. Within the St. Joseph River watershed, we're focusing within the largest tributary drainage basin, and that is the Cedar Creek, and it's delineated there in shaded purple. Within that area, we have 3 main watersheds that we are monitoring. We call them our A watershed, our B watershed, and our C watershed. And within each of these, we have nested some various sizes of watersheds. All 3 of our watersheds have a medium-sized watershed that is approximately 300 some hectare, and a large-sized watershed, which is approximately 1,500 or so hectare. And in the case of our A watershed, we also have an opportunity to monitor an extra large watershed, which is about 4,300 hectare. And because we're monitoring for atrazine, which is used on corn but not soybean, and our areas in annual rotation, it's important that we look at our data in even numbers of years, and that ensures that any one field is represented equally in corn and in soybeans. So our monitoring seasons that I'm going to present today are 2004, 5, 6, and 7. And the monitoring season runs during that period of time that we can be reasonably confident that our ISCO samplers are not going to freeze. And so we deploy those usually in late March or April, and then we have to pull them out of the field usually in late October or November. We are, again, sampling daily samples, and in fact, our daily samples are a composite of six draws that are pulled every 4 hours. Because we're monitoring for herbicides, it's important that we keep those samplers refrigerated. And our samples are filtered at 0.45 micron and then extracted using an automated solid phase microextraction technique separated by gas chromatography and quantitated by mass spectrometry. This table shows an overall view of atrazine concentrations on a flow-weighted basis, as well as the frequency of MCL exceedance for all seven of our monitoring sites. And you can see indicated in red is anything above the MCL, and four out of our seven sites, we exceeded atrazine MCL on a flow-weighted average basis. And the reason that our AXL watershed, which is the largest one, was 3 and that's above, and ALG and CLG are also 3 and that's below, is because of rounding. We have two sites that are right at, slightly below the MCL, and just one site that is comfortably below the maximum contaminant level, and that was our medium-sized watershed in our watershed A. At all of our sites, we did observe some number of samples that were significantly above the maximum contaminant level. And in some cases, such as in the case of BME, that was 30 times the drinking water limit. But even in our cleanest watershed AME, we still had some that were almost 10 times the drinkable limit. And this is our flow-weighted average coming out above the MCL is due to, in the case of our AXL watershed, we're above 3. This is due to about 11% of our daily samples, which were above the maximum contaminant level. And so you can see that even if you do have a problem in your flow-weighted average concentration, you might not detect it if your sampling frequency isn't great enough, because this is due to only a small percentage of the total number of samples. So we wanted to see exactly what kinds of errors would be associated with decreasing our sampling frequency from daily to weekly or biweekly. And so the first thing we did, we plotted the daily based flow weighted averages that you just saw on the last table with the yellow circles. And then I remined the data set, sort of simulating if we had done weekly sampling. So I excluded all of the data except for samples collected, say, on a Monday. And then I repeated that procedure for the rest of the days of the week, and this yielded 7 possible flow-weighted average concentrations that we could have observed had we been sampling on a weekly basis. The range of those values are indicated by the blue bars on the graph, and on average, with all of our watersheds and all of those errors, not just the extremes, we could expect a 34% error associated with sampling weekly versus daily. We repeated this procedure for biweekly using excluding all the data except for odd Mondays and then even Mondays and for all days of the week and even in odds, and that yielded 14 values that we could have observed if we had been sampling biweekly. And the range of those values is shown by the red bars, and there is a 49% error associated with decreasing that sampling frequency to biweekly. Same idea, I did the same thing, but instead of flow-weighted average concentrations, I looked at the frequency of MCL exceedance. So what might be your probability of pulling a sample above the maximum contaminant level? And the errors associated with that were 17% for weekly sampling and 20% for biweekly sampling. Now, atrazine levels in this drainage system are highly seasonal phenomenon, and they are most closely associated with the first few runoff events which follow atrazine application. And in our area, atrazine application typically occurs in mid-May. So our highest atrazine losses we can expect to occur in May and June, and are usually associated with some runoff event. So we take, again, our largest watershed, AXL, 4,300 hectare, and we look at our frequency of atrazine MCL exceedance as observed on a daily basis. We had 11% of our daily samples exceed. Now, if we had avoided sampling during May and June, that frequency drops to less than 2%. And this scenario I'm bringing up because it's entirely possible to do with the quarterly monitoring regime. First quarter, January, February, March, second quarter, April, May, June. If you take your second quarter sample during April, you don't have to take another sample until the third quarter. So you could entirely miss this period of May and June post-application and falsely lower your chances of exceeding MCL by quite a bit. Secondarily, if you exclude days, sampling on days when a runoff producing precipitation event is occurring, you can also lower it to a lesser extent. In order to look at what kind of error can be associated with just by chance, picking which day you're going to pull your quarterly samples on, I've presented here what would happen if you decided that you're going to take your quarterly samples smack in the middle of the quarter, say on the same day of the second month in every quarter. And if we look at what would happen just from the first 10 days of the month, if we happen to sample on the first day of the second month in every quarter, in this example, which began second quarter of 2004 for our largest watershed, we would have been in compliance. But if we had sampled on the second day of the second month of every quarter, we would have not been in compliance. And that is primarily due, again, to this high variability in atrazine concentration, which occurs during the second quarter. So if our goal is to detect an MCL compliance problem where one exists, then we really need to focus our more intensive sampling on quarter two. If we look at our largest watershed where we exceeded MCL only 11% of the time and yet had a flow-weighted average atrazine concentration above MCL, 0% of those, 0% of the samples pulled during quarter one, and there were very few of them because it was so cold, exceeded 16% exceeded during quarter two. Quarter three, where the crops are doing their evapotranspiration, we only had 1% exceedance, and then in quarter four, once the crops are out, goes back up to 4%. So we're going to focus on quarter two, which is our best opportunity to catch any one sample above MCL. And if we want a 90% probability of detecting any sample above MCL, then the formula that we use is the probability of not detecting, which we accept at 10%, equals the probability of any sample being below the MCL, which in our case is 84%, raised to the n power, n being the number of samples required. We solve for n, we find out that we need 13 samples during the second quarter in order to have a 90% probability of detecting that we do have an MCL problem. About 90 days in the quarter divided by 13 samples, that comes out to a sampling frequency that we need to pull samples weekly. So to conclude, daily atrazine concentrations are highly variable, and this is especially true during the second quarter. Neither weekly nor biweekly atrazine sampling can be expected to accurately represent daily sampling, especially in terms of flow-weighted average concentrations where those errors were 34 or 49%, which we considered to be not acceptable. So unfortunately, we're not able to decrease our sampling frequency. The need for conservation practices to reduce atrazine levels in surface water can best be evaluated using daily or more frequent sampling in this type of system. With regard to the quarterly monitoring schedule, this regime allows for the possibility of missing the critical periods of atrazine losses, which occur during May and June and are associated most closely with runoff events. Daily variability in atrazine concentrations in our largest watershed were such that shifting the quarterly sampling schedule by just one day could reverse MCL compliance status for that year period. And so our recommendation, in order to remove that factor of chance, is to base our second quarter atrazine value on the average of weekly samples, and that again gives us a 90% probability of detecting a problem if one does exist. I'd like to acknowledge first and foremost my wonderful technician Janae Boss, and also the individuals and organizations that made this research possible, and I'll thank you for your attention, and I don't know if we have time for questions.
No, we'll have to wait till the end
okay.
of the session.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Beth.